very excited to have Robert Snyder in the studio, official Manhattan Borough historian and author of the new book, When the City Stops, Stories from New York's Essential Workers. The book is a collection of firsthand accounts that chronicle the lives and experiences of the everyday heroes who kept New York City running during the COVID-19 pandemic. Through the voices of essential workers, healthcare professionals, delivery drivers, janitors, and more, the book shows the challenges and sacrifices that emerge amidst one of the most difficult times in the city's history. Snyder is also Professor Emeritus of American Studies and Journalism at Rutgers University. His books include Crossing Broadway and Transit Talk. He will be speaking at the University at Albany this afternoon and at the New York State Museum tomorrow afternoon. He joins us in Studio A this morning, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Robert Snyder to the roundtable. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me here.
A real thrill to have you on the program. What brought you to want to share these stories of a time so fraught?
I had just been appointed Manhattan Borough historian, and I was looking for a way to make my mark on the job. And COVID erupted in March of 2020 in New York City, and it became obvious to me pretty quickly that I didn't know much about viruses and pandemics. So I assembled a network of historians to advise me about how to respond to queries. And that led to a working group that then produced a lot of work, oral histories, interviews, poetry collections, all sorts of things to document the story.
Is it difficult or more difficult to do history in the moment of knowing that as things are changing every single moment of every single day, that is ultimately history?
It was challenging because the whole thing lasted longer than anybody expected. We expected to do some interviews and be done by the spring of 2020, and instead it lasted for years. So we doubled back to people sometimes, and I did interviews of my own to fill holes in the project.
So in the sense of, as you look back on it, and now the book coming out now, what stories do you think, so what rises to the top of being the stories that are still relevant to us that hopefully we can, in the idea that we can learn from history, this is it?
Amazingly, the stories that rose to the top for me became very clear as I was finishing the book. And those were the stories from the darkest days of the pandemic in the spring of 2020, when as many as 800 people were dying a day in New York City. The nurses, doctors, ambulance workers, healthcare professionals, first responders were all doing their utmost to save people's lives. They were working to the limits of their capacities, the outer limits of their capacities. And yet, that was when we collected the material that was most inspiring and most sustaining.
One of the things that I found fascinating about the book, necessary but fascinating, was the range of people that you talked to in the sense of what they were doing during the pandemic. So this is everybody. This isn't just those, essential workers, obviously, frontline, but janitors, people who are doing every aspect and how it greatly affected them.
Everybody in New York City had a different way of experiencing the pandemic. Some people like me hid at home in their apartments and worked virtually. Other people left the city altogether and moved into country houses. But the essential workers were the ones who stayed in the city. And I thought the job of this book would be to build bridges of empathy between people who had very, very different experiences in the pandemic.
Healthcare workers, grocery clerks, the people who are watching this either from a bedside or from maybe afar, and the people who've just come from that bedside.
When Governor Cuomo's order created the category of essential workers and then frontline workers who had to show up on the job, some jobs suddenly became dangerous, jobs that had never been dangerous before. Nobody who works as a cashier in a supermarket expects to be in a life or death situation. Police officers, firefighters, they accept danger as part of their job, but all sorts of folks who worked in stores, who worked delivering food, they suddenly faced the risk of COVID when they were on the job.
The other thing that's so beautiful about the book is the way that it's told. So there are first-person narratives, there are interviews, there's poetry.
Yeah. I wanted to get the voices in all their variety. We did a lot of good oral history interviews, but I thought the poems expressed sometimes the deepest feelings that people had about their situation, and I wanted the wider public to understand that.
You know what struck me too, and this is just a general observation, but and I think a lot of people relate to this, but as I was reading this, I was like, oh my God, I forget so much. I mean, I didn't, like, right, that was awful. Like, just waiting to get your vaccination and the cards and getting an appointment and having a friend call and say, quick, there's 8 slots open. You know, that, like, that was out of my mind.
It was out of my mind, too. I was reminded as I was doing the book of how confusing it was sometimes. 6 feet, more, less, mask, no mask. Paxlovid, no Paxlovid. You always felt confused because the situation seemed to be changing day by day, and it was very rattling. And I put that out of my mind, and that came back to me while I was working on the book.
I was really struck by things as simple as riding the subway, of just how different and how changed that experience was.
It was less crowded than it normally is. It was often empty. I avoided the subway. I probably rode it only once or twice. I walked long distances. I walked 50 blocks to Harlem to get my first shot, for example, rather than ride the subway, because you feared that in that environment, the virus might circulate more easily. I tried to stay outside as much as I could when I left my home.
You write a beautiful conclusion in the book, and I'm would like you to sort of give us a sense of what you wanted to say in that. And as you wrap up these stories for us, where you do not only you let the stories speak for themselves, but you also put it into a general context.
There's no question to me that after the pandemic, our country was in a very divisive phase. People were bitterly.
Well, thank God we're over that.
At each other's throats over all sorts of things. And I think the pandemic accelerated that. That's a process that's been going on for some years. I hope that by printing the stories of people who went out and faced grave danger in a time of great uncertainty, we could emphasize the stories of people who we can all admire. Maybe if we could begin with what we agree on, we could then move on to build shared bonds on larger issues as well.
When you took on this project, so some of it, I assume, as we mentioned, is as in the moment, right?
Yep.
And then at what point did you know, okay, I would like to do this in book form?
We initially talked about putting together a big digital online archive that would hold everything collected in New York City. That was going to be too expensive, too technologically complicated, and I didn't really want to do that. And I decided that I would do something that I'd always wanted to do, edit a book of oral histories. I found the work of Studs Terkel inspiring.
Yeah.
I thought I could do my own version of that by looking at the pandemic the way he looked at the Great Depression.
May I ask you, as the Manhattan borough historian, how things do you see different in a city as large and wily as New York compared to the rest of the world? Because what I found, yes, these stories are New York stories, no question about it, but they're also really universal, even if you're out in the sticks.
This is the thing that struck me, that as different as some people were in the interviews, they often had common experiences. A teenager wrangling with her mother, stuck home together during pandemic. A clergy person trying to deal with a congregation that is separated from itself by social distancing. People had very different identities and lived in very different circumstances, but they often had common experiences, and I hope the book would bring that to the fore.
In those common experiences, I mean, one of the things as you write in your conclusion is that, you know, that hopefully, maybe, we can learn from this experience. We have a spotty record. I ask you this question as a historian. We have a spotty record of learning from history, don't we?
We do. We were absolutely bewildered in 2020 that everybody seemed to forget the flu epidemic of 1918. It's forgotten, whereas World War I, which took place at the same time, is something everybody gets, and there are monuments to it all over the city of New York and other places. So I had hoped that by doing the book in this way, muting my own voice, putting the voices of essential workers in the foreground, I'd produce a book that would last for a long time. I hope that 50 years from now, when people want to understand this event and ask questions that will never even occur to us today, they can start to find some answers by looking at this book.
When you'll be giving a lecture tomorrow at the Huxley Theater at the New York State Museum, and the title of that is When the City Stopped, which is the title of the book as well. And in putting this in a lecture form, how does it differ?
It's really tough. I don't compare to some of the people quoted in this book when it comes to eloquence. And some of the interviews were hard to conduct. I think of Veronica Fletcher, a woman whose husband was a transit worker, a mechanic who died of COVID. Her interview was tough to conduct. She was crying. I was crying. And I asked her, do you want to stop? And she said, no, I want to finish this. So I thought if she can do it, so can I. And we carried on and finished the interview. But it's very tough for me to read an interview like that in public and do it justice.
Yeah. You have two events, and I just want to make mention of them before we run out of time. First of all, you'll be at the University at Albany this afternoon. There's an event from 2 to 3:30, When the City Stopped, New Yorkers on COVID-19 in the City, and that is in the Humanities Building, Humanities 354, in the Uptown campus in Albany this afternoon. And that talk is free and open to the public. And then, of course, I mentioned the New York State Museum, which will be in the Huxley Theater from 2 to 3, also free. And you can find out more information by going to the New York State Museum website. So also, if you just put in Robert Snyder Albany, both of those events will come up. I think that it is, as we look at this, and I just want to compliment you for a moment because you were talking about the eloquence of these stories, but the way you choose them and the way they're laid out is so meaningful. And I was really struck by that because the story has an arc to it and you really bring that through.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I struggled really hard with that. I tried to balance themes and chronology. And actually, my wife deserves some of the credit for that because she was reading a draft. She said, what's interesting is when you watch people go from saving themselves to saving others. And that progression is really important. And I'm glad the book gave that to you.
Robert Snyder is the official Manhattan Borough historian. Is there an unofficial Manhattan Borough historian?
No, there's one in every municipality, every county has one under state law. I'm Manhattan's.
When the City Stopped is the name of the book. Stories from New York's Essential Workers. It is published by Cornell University Press and is now out. Robert will be at both the University at Albany this afternoon and at the New York State Museum tomorrow afternoon. It's a great honor to have you behind our microphones this morning. Thank you so much for taking the time out.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
Be well. Again, the name of the book, When the City Stopped, by Robert Snyder. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.